Blog Talk Radio.
Y'all ready, fellas?
Yeah, you do what it do.
I'm ready to start.
Make it do what it do, baby.
Here we go.
Then we got Rip Van Winkle back on the mic.
Good to have you back in the air. We are officially back talking sports and stuff on this Thursday. We had a little adjustment, Andre. I was actually holding out, man, so I figured I'd come back, man. So coming back strong.
Hashtag.
We got the contract worked out.
We got the contract worked out, so we are officially back on the air. Welcome. Of course, today is Thursday, September the 24th. Time is flying by. You're officially talking sports and stuff, man. Without further ado, I've introduced myself. Let's introduce my other players here. They're ready to go. First and foremost, start off with Mr. JQ, Jaquan Jenkins. How you doing, sir?
Oh, man, I'm living the life. How you doing, bro?
Living the life is a fantastic thing. Welcome aboard. And last but not least, Mr. Robert Ford. How are you doing this evening, sir?
Man, can't be better, man. Can't be better. Ready to get this party started. As the world can see, the Giants are whipping up on the Redskins. Last I checked, 25-6. So just giving our listeners an update.
Yes, yes, we appreciate that as always. And first, without further ado, we always like to fill out some numbers and kind of set the stage. If you always want to reach out to us, that number to call is 424-243-9519. We are also on Twitter. If you go to the number at the number 12, THMAN Sports, that is our Twitter handle. And last but not least, we are also on Facebook. If you go to facebook.com, if you put /12manSports, or if you actually put talking Sports, the 12th menu, will actually find us as well. So I know happy Father's Day to all of my fathers and daughters and stuff like that out there too. So just a lot of fun things out there as well. JQ, what brought that to my remembrance is that we have to get some shots of you, man. So we'll get those edited in, and I'll make sure you get some props as well too. So I didn't forget about you. So that is what it is.
Sounds good.
Let's get this party kicked off. I'm not sure if Robert is trying to make a slight. But right off the gate, we have some NFL predictions, and it is the surprising 2-0 Falcons at the 2-0 Cowboys. So obviously, I'm going to kind of hold back and get this objective view because, you know, I'm sure there's certain people that are unexpected about, you know, certain teams here. Now, the Cowboys have had some injuries, obviously, to Tony Romo as well as Dez Bryant. Is Roger Staubach and Danny White coming out? Of retirement, JQ. What are your thoughts about this particular game, if you will, as we kick it off with you, sir?
You said to me, I'm sorry.
Right off the bat.
Oh, well, I'm gonna tell you like this: if the Falcons can't beat Brandon Whedon, then all the excitement and, you know, just everything that's going along with these first 2 weeks is gonna go in the dumpster. I mean, you got to be able to beat Brandon Whedon. I'm sorry. No Tony Romo, no Dez Bryant. It's looking like Jason Witten is not maybe going to play, and if he's going to play, he's going to be nowhere near 100% because he's got two bad ankles. I mean, this schedule is setting up really nice for the Falcons. If they can't beat the Cowboys right now, I don't know what else to say. It's just that simple.
Wow. Rob Ford. What's your thoughts on
that? I would have to agree with JQ on this one. I know the Dallas Cowboys defense has been phenomenal the first 2 weeks. If you go back to week one, I've actually I've watched a good bit of both the Dallas Cowboys' first two games. And even in week one when they barely squeaked by the Giants, if anybody that watched that game, all of the points that the Giants scored were pretty much off of the Cowboys' offense. Their defense wasn't giving up anything to the Giants in that game. Giants may have only had over 100 yards total of offense. And then they just totally dismantled the Philadelphia Eagles offense this past week. So defensively, the Cowboys have been playing extremely well. You got to tip your hat to them. But I just don't think they're going to be able to score enough points to beat the Falcons this week. So I would have to pick the Falcons, too. I mean, JQ already mentioned Jason Witten, Dez Bryant, Tony Romo. The running game hasn't been the same. I think Atlanta gets by them in about a 17-7 kind of game, 20-7 kind of game this week.
appreciate the support right there. You know, like I said, we are thinking this is a trap game, so we're going to be prepared because you definitely can't take them for granted. I'm thinking I'm getting a heavy dose of running. They're going to try to protect Brandon Weeden. So we'll see how that plays out for sure.
Who's going to run the ball, though?
Well, like I said, they're gonna. I don't know. McFadden, you know, McFadden's hurt. I don't know, man.
Well, Jonah Randall's gonna be the guy this week, but you know, we'll see what he can do.
Yeah, we'll see. Like I said, it's one of the situations. Oh, go ahead, JK.
If the Falcons don't erupt on Dallas, I'm gonna be upset because I do enjoy the Falcons as well. But this schedule is setting up so well for them. You got Philadelphia starting off sputtering, and then you get the Giants who can't get out their own way, and you get Dallas who is. You know, just so injured at this point, and we haven't got the other injuries on the side of the ball like Randall Gregory. I mean, if Atlanta can't win this game, then what games can you win? I mean, you have to win this game. You have to, I think one step further, you have to dominate this game. I really think they have to dominate this game. It shouldn't be close.
All right, we'll see how it plays out. Like I said, I'm a little cautiously optimistic, man, because anytime that this happens, you just never know. But we'll see. I'll accept anything, any win, man, but I got you. And I love it, man. And I love it because Rob went a little ham on his personal page about the Saints, man. We're going to leave that alone, man. But we'll bring it up.
Thank you for that shout out. Hey, that was nowhere mentioned on the program tonight.
That wasn't a shot, man. I wanted to get your feedback because I was watching.
He had
the
to
game.
Throw that in there.
Let me tell you why, man. I had a suicide pool, man. And I was 50-50 on picking the Saints, man. In my heart of hearts, you know. I was like, maybe I should pick the Saints, and I did not, and I actually got saved because I didn't make that pick, man, because I was just like, once again, you know, they should have, you know, but I know, holding the conversation, but that's okay. All right, I'm going to keep it strong. All right, Mr. Robert Ford, who are the top two QBs in the NFL today? You better not say anything about Sam Bradford. Go ahead, sir.
Well, I think even Stevie Wonder can see this at the moment. I think you got to go with Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady. I think right now they are the two best in the game. You know, I think, you know, coming into the season, you thought Andrew Luck was ready to make that next step. But, you know, based on these first couple of games, I know it's still kind of early. It looked like his luck is running out a little bit. And I would have to go with Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady. So far this season, they've been the most impressive. And then you can't go against their track record either.
Absolutely. JQ, do you agree with what Rob said? Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I think they're playing on a whole other level than everybody else at this point. It's not even close. I mean, you know, Andrew Luck was a trendy pick, but, you know, the 0-2 Colts look like they're struggling with something serious. Drew Brees and the Saints, I won't even talk about it. I'm sorry. it's got to be Rodgers and Brady. I mean, they are
like taking shots.
Phenomenal.
Man.
No. I think Brees is a phenomenal quarterback, but I definitely didn't see them losing at home to Tampa. So, and him getting hurt as well, I know it had an impact on that game. But the way that Rodgers commands that, losing Jordy Nelson and not really missing a beat, and then Tom Brady, through everything that he's been through in the offseason, some of it, a good piece of it that he put on himself, but still, to come in and come out in those first 2 weeks like that, I mean, it's got to be Rodgers and Brady. I don't think anybody will argue with those two.
Absolutely.
Yeah, good call. Good call, unless you're Giselle. But, you know, we'll keep moving here. I love it. A lot of things are happening here. The Jets, guys, they are another surprising 2-0 team. But word on the street is that, you know, Revis, obviously Ivory and Decker are a little uncertain for this weekend, Rob. What are your thoughts about this, Rob, as far as what's been happening with those three guys?
You know, it's interesting. It looks like Eric Decker is definitely not going to play. I think Ivory and Revis may still have an outside chance. I think they can still win without Eric Decker at home against the Eagles. The Eagles are struggling. It's amazing how great they looked in the preseason. And as soon as we get to the regular season, they're struggling, even offensively. And the Jets, in my opinion, has been one of the top five defensive teams in the first couple of weeks in the league. They've been phenomenal. I'm going to still pick the Jets. I'm going to say at least one of those guys is still going to play, and I'm going to still pick the Jets at home to win that game. And, you know, I think, like I said, the other three look like Decker is the only one that I think is officially not going to play, but I think Revis and Ivory still has an outsized chance of playing.
you're a Jets fan, good news, too, because Geno Smith is ready, too, man. Hey, Jake,
and the Jets got some depth at running back, too, with the Powell guy. And, you know, I think even
Powell,
if Ivory didn't play, you know, they still have a little bit of depth there. They can make up for it. You know, Ryan Fitzpatrick has been playing fairly well. But, you know, if you look at the team, they got some nice weapons. He's had Decker. He's had Brandon Marshall. He's had a strong running game. And you got to give Todd Bowles a lot of credit.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. We'll talk about that and what Rex Ryan left. But, what are your thoughts about this, JQ, as well, sir?
Yeah, and I believe I told y'all way back when you did the Jets preview that we couldn't, you know, just sink the Jets because Ryan Fitzpatrick was more steady than Geno Smith. He had a lot of weapons, so I'm going to go ahead and toot my own horn over here. But out of those three, Darrelle Revis is the key. If Darrelle Revis can be 85% of what he normally is, he's the key to them winning that game because he's going to lock down one side of that field, even if you have that high-powered Philadelphia offense. Like you talked about with Powell, I think he can step in on a one-game basis for Ivory, even though Ivory has been running like a man this season. And Decker's been really good, but in a low-scoring game, which I think it may end up being with that Jets defense, if you can get a strong run game and you can highlight Brandon Marshall and Revis can lock down one side of that field, if he can take away Matthews from Bradford and DeMarco Murray is also questionable with a thigh injury, I still like the Jets in, that weekend, in this game this weekend if Revis can play. If Revis can't play, I think it's 50-50.
Yeah, that's a good call. Good call. And just to piggyback on that statement too, fellas, I mean, like you said, you know, the Jets are, you know, they're just doing everything solid, you know. They have a quarterback that's not going to make mistakes. Like you said, JQ, good call. Ryan Fitzpatrick, he's going to just keep the ball. You've got a playmaker in Brandon Marshall. I mean, you got a solid defense. So there you go, man. So that's a recipe for a successful team. So, you know, maybe Todd Bowles doesn't have to do too much, but, you know, hey, kudos to him and what's been happening with that too. Let's keep it moving. Johnny Manziel, the question is, does he lack pocket instinct? So I'm sure we'll talk about this. I know Rob may want to elaborate, but I'm going to kick it off with you, JQ. Do you think he lacks kind of pocket instincts, if you will?
I mean, yes and no, but he's trying to come into a more conventional offense in Cleveland as opposed to what he ran at A&M. And he's still a young quarterback, and some of the clips I've seen him make plays against the Jets for one. He broke out and made a really nice run, but didn't see the defender come from the blind side, and he got crushed and he fumbled the ball. So a lot of that, I think, is more about ball security than it is pocket awareness of pocket instincts. But I still think he might be trending in the right direction. I'm not really sure if I would bench him for McCown at this point. You know what you're going to get in McCown. And outside that 1 year where he had Jeffrey and Marshall where they just, you know, just threw the ball up and went deep on everybody, I'm not sure if he's going to be – he's definitely not the long-term solution in Cleveland. I think Johnny is still more of that long-term solution in Cleveland than he is. But I think it's just being a young quarterback who's used to playing more of a wide-open game, having to, you know, rein it in a little bit. And they still have, you know, issues in the backfield trying to figure out if it's going to be Crowell, if it's going to be Duke Johnson. And you have Travis Benjamin, good for a deep ball. But outside of that, he's still got to figure some things out. They lost Jordan Cameron to Miami. So I'm not going to, you know – rush the judgment on him too much at this point. He just is a young quarterback that needs more reps.
Yeah, I think it's a good call. What do you think about this, Rob?
Well, I think, you know, I thought he actually played fairly well this past week, and I thought the Browns, I agree with JQ, should have stuck with him. And I think, you know, they've already announced that McCown is going to be starting again this coming week. I don't think he has great pocket presence yet. I think he's still more of a guy that just tries to make plays and run around and things of that nature, throw on the run. You know, I don't think he feels the rush that well just yet, so he definitely has to improve his pocket presence. But I think he has a chance to be a playmaker for the Browns, unlike McCown. So I would have liked to have seen the Browns stick with him going into game three as a starter, but unfortunately they're going back to McCown.
Yep.
Nice. I agree with both you guys. I mean, because obviously, like JQ said, I mean, you've already seen what's happening with Josh. I mean, I don't think that's you know, we've probably seen his ceiling. So now is the time to kind of let Manziel do his thing. Rob, like you said, he is progressing, but I just think he needs more playing time. That's what that's going to get him a little better at what's going to happen. So, you know, unfortunately, you have to do all your learning kind of as you go along. There's no NFL Europe or anything like that. So you have to kind of keep those reps going and try to get better. So, yeah, keep it moving. let Johnny take those reps, and we'll see how he progresses, because I'm sure he's a lot farther than what we expected, right? You would agree with that, right? I would say, right?
I think you're the Browns general manager, you're the Browns head coach, you got to, at the end of this season, you got to know that Johnny Manziel is your future or not. And the only way you're going to know that is by playing him. You know Josh McCown is a journeyman quarterback. He's not your future. You need to know at the end of this season if Manziel is your future or not, or do you need to move on at the quarterback position?
Yep.
Yeah, and I think the thing about that is that they're coaching for their jobs and general managing for their jobs, as opposed to taking the long-term look at the Browns into consideration. They know they can't have any more 3-13 seasons, so they're trying to get to a 7-9 or 8-8, even if it stunts the growth of Johnny Manziel. And long-term solution, I don't think that's a good idea, but I think they're looking more short-term for their own benefit is what's really happening in Cleveland.
Yeah, it's kind of tough, man. I think they'll probably give him, at least a year, because everyone is excited to see this guy play at this juncture. So let him play. If they say, hey, guys, we're going to put everything on Johnny and just kind of see him ride it out, it's going to be tough, but they're going to have some ups and downs. But I think you got to at least let him, like you said. I mean, he's got a little bit more promise. So we'll definitely keep an eye on that scenario. And speaking of the future, it looks like now the NFL may only want one team in Los Angeles now. Rob, what are your sources telling you about this, sir?
Well, I mean, it was almost looking like it was going to be a crowded Los Angeles market with the Rams, Chargers, and the Raiders trying to move there. And so, all three of them have shaky stadium situations right now, and all three of them would like to move to Los Angeles. So I think this one's going to be a tough one in the NFL. I mean, how do you decide which team moves to Los Angeles, and how do you solve those local situations and the ones that are going to be staying? And, I would say the worst-off team out of those three teams is Oakland in their current situation. And so I think they would be the team that would have to be desperate for a move because of the situation in Oakland with their stadium situation and the economy there as well. So you would have to put them at the top of the list for a team to be to move, and then you can possibly hope that you can work out something in San Diego and St. Louis. But I know the Rams on the desperately wants to move as well.
What do you think about that, JQ?
Well, I think a piece of that is also spanned by the NFL because they played it up for so long. We got three teams that want to move, and we could possibly get two. And if you read some of the tea leaves, if things aren't moving generally in the direction they want it to go, then, we only want one team. We were just talking before. So I don't believe that. I think that's just spin by the NFL. If they could get two teams in Los Angeles, they would gladly take it to go to the number two television market outside, I think, New York. But, if you're just trying to spin it to make it sure you don't have egg on your face, because Lord knows the NFL has had more egg on their face than Waffle House pretty much at this point, then that's all it is. I just think it's just a way to save face more than anything else and try to get some of their own leverage and all of that. The NFL wants two teams in Los Angeles. I firmly believe that. And if they come out and say they only want one, they end up getting two, then it makes them look better. So it's just spin.
And I think here's another situation. As much as the NFL wants to be in Los Angeles, the NFL has still been very successful without Los Angeles as well.
Sure.
And obviously you do want to be in that second largest television market in the country. But the NFL has not been successful in Los Angeles, and I think they have to continue to evaluate that too. Regardless, most cities are a football first city, but in Los Angeles, you're always going to be second to the Lakers. You're always going to be second to Hollywood. You're always going to be second to the beach. And it's just never have been very successful. So I think the NFL has to weigh those things too.
Good call. Love the energy, fellas. Let's keep moving here. Speaking of, I was going to say like kind of a, battle royale kind of fight to the finish, but, maybe that may not happen, man. So we'll keep on the back burner. But, gentlemen, let's talk about fantasy football. Rob, let's kind of kick it off, man. Some fantasy football. I know you did a good job of posting it in all of our leagues. So let's talk about this. Shout out to the winners, Rob. It's on you, sir.
All right. Let me start off with league number one. Our biggest winner from week two, the Bristol Bombers, Aaron from Bristol, Connecticut, over my co-host, Straight Cash Homie. I hate to throw you under the bus like that, Andre. But
you were waiting for that. You were waiting for that.
158.26 to 111.32 victory. And also the Bristol Bombers, they're in overall first place in our league number one. So congrats to him. And league number two, I got to throw my other co-host under the bus. the Dome Patrol with a 193.20 win over Ohio Players, 193.20 to 119.76. That was the biggest win in the league, in league number two. Dome Patrol, yours truly, of course. Oh, say what?
I said, man, that's just ridiculous. Who the hell goes for 193?
I had a great week that week. Got to keep it going. So I had the biggest week in the week, and overall first place at the Pellies. Also, as same guy, Aaron from Bristol, Connecticut, in first place in league number two as well. And league number three, the biggest win, Ricardo Pelican Fly from New Orleans. 156.86 over the Ohio Players as well. Man.
Oh, man.
77.20. He had the biggest win in league number three. In first place overall, the Alcoholics in first place overall in league number three. He's also from the New Orleans area. So shout out to all the winners, the biggest winners from week number two, and the teams in first place. Let's keep competing. We got a long season to go.
Hey, JQ, do you want to talk about Saints anymore?
I'm just going to go on mute.
Oh, man. I know we didn't have a show last week, but I was going to have to throw myself under the bus in week one of one of those leagues, man. I only scored 77 points in week one.
Yeah, whenever Rob decides to go off, he just goes off on me. That's just what's happening.
Oh man.
We try to keep it
fun and entertaining, America too. So we got about 8 minutes left in the show. So let's kind of talk about some things. I know we missed the show last week. Before I know we passed on Yogi Berra, was a great just kind of a living legend. I do want to do a quick shout out too to Moses Malone. He played for the Hawks for a long time. And he was, I think, one of the original players to actually go from high school to the NBA. This dude was just a phenomenal talent. I mean, he wasn't overly athletic or anything like that, but he just knew how to position, and he made a long-lasting career, man. I mean, that dude was just insane, just to clean the glass. I don't know if you guys want to comment on one of those. I mean, I know we got to talk about Yogi Berra too, but I know we didn't get a chance to talk about Moses Malone. I just wanted to kind of talk about that too, man. We lost a lot of players as well as Daryl Dawkins, and you know, up in heaven, looks like we got a great team up there, man, because we're losing like a lot of players too, man. But I don't know if you guys want to talk about anything. I guess we'll kick it off to you, JQ, and whatever you want to talk about, and we'll keep it on the next topic.
Yeah, man, you know, faux with Moses Malone and Charles Barkley, you know, credits him with basically get his career in gear because he came in entitled and fat and out of weight, and Moses really whipped him into shape in Philadelphia. So, that's sad. I don't really know what's been happening this week. They say it comes in threes, so I think we got our threes with Moses and Daryl Dawkins and Yogi. And Yogi Berra, I mean, wow, you know, 10 World Series championships, you know, that's – and everybody talks about the Yogi-isms. I mean, that it's incredible. You know, the future and what it used to be, just all of those things, you know, RIP to all of those guys. It's been a really sad week and a half.
Yeah, let's kick it to you, Robert. Any thoughts you want to say about this too, sir?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad you brought up Moses Malone. That was I was a big fan of his. Matter of fact, that 1982-83 76ers team, I mean, I was only about 7-8 years old at the time, but I was a huge fan of that team. And I was a big 76ers fan. Dr. J, Moses Malone, as JQ mentioned, 4-4-4-F-O-F-O-F-O. That's how he said it.
F-O-F-O-F-O.
That was his classic line. 4-4-4. They were going to sweep everybody. And as a matter of fact, in that year, they swept everybody except one team. They beat everybody 4-0. I think it's 4-1 and then 4-0 again. So that was a great 76ers basketball team, one of my favorite. Maurice Cheeks, Andrew Toney, Dr. J, Moses Malone, Bobby Jones. That was a classic team. And as Andre mentioned, he later played with the Hawks. One thing that stood out to me about Moses Malone, you're talking about an extremely hustle player. This was a guy that would throw the ball up off the backboard just to get his own rebound, pad his own rebounding stats. And he was a heck of a workhorse kind of player. Wasn't the tallest center, but he was 6'10", and he was strong. You know, not too many people can stop him down there on a low block. So our condolences go out to definitely Moses Malone, Daryl Dawkins, and also Yogi Berra, who's also a baseball legend, one of the best catchers to ever play the game, died at 90 years old here a day or so ago. Played in more World Series games than any other player in Major League history. Played in 75 World Series games, three-time AL MVP, 1951, 54, and 55. He's got the most hits in the World Series at 71. Of course, went into the Hall of Fame in 1972. And, of course, known for his yogiisms, too. Always had a lot of great sayings. So definitely our condolences go out to those three legends.
Living legends Absolutely. Are gone. But yeah. Good job, fellas. All right, we got some magic numbers for the Major League Baseball. Rob, I'll let you kind of kick on those as far as what's going to happen with the Royals, how to lose their closer, Greg Holland, for the season. We'll let you comment on that. We got about 4 minutes, so you got about a minute or so to talk about that before we get to the OT portion. So, Rob, talk about some magic numbers for the Major League Baseball.
Now, these magic numbers were prior to the games today, so I haven't had a chance to apologize to look at some of the results. From tonight, of course, the Blue Jays, their magic number was at 8 for clinching the AL East, 3 to clinch at least a wild card spot. The Royals, of course, all they needed was 2 games for the division or wild card, a win, and the Twins' loss tonight would have clinched the division for them. I don't know if either one of you all have the results from those 2 games. Of course, the Blue Jays beat the Yankees again, so Joe Girardi is saying the Yankees almost have to be perfect at this point. The Yankees are at 7, the magic number for a wild card. The Astros are at 10. The Rangers in the AL West, they're 8 for the division and 8 for the wild card as well. You look at the National League, the Mets' magic number for the division is 5, 6 for the wild card. Cardinals, 7 for the division. They've already clinched at least a wild card. And the Dodgers, 5 for the National League West. 5 for at least a wild card. The Pirates clinched last night. They're going to playoffs for the 3rd straight year. And the Cubs also coming on strong. Just have 2 more and their magic number to clinch a wild card spot. So we're getting close to October, people.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah,
and to give you an update. Go ahead. So, yeah, the Royals are in. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Royals won and the Twins lost?
Yep.
Yep, so yeah, the Royals clinched tonight. Mm-hmm.
Well, the magic number is 1 for that, looks like, yeah. Yeah, but go ahead, JQ.
Yeah, but in the National League, I don't think there's a whole lot of drama. The drama really is only for the American League wild card, because in the National League, the NL Central, my word, is just going plum ham with Pittsburgh and Chicago and St. Louis. So it's really just about, is the wild card game going to be played in Chicago or in Pittsburgh? And they have a 3-game set, I believe, in Chicago in the last weekend of the season. To maybe figure that out. And the East is just coming down to the Mets and the Nationals. The Mets should win it, unless barring another Mets collapse, they should win that. And I think the Dodgers pretty much have the Giants have just sunk, and the Dodgers have that NL West. I think the Toronto is going ahead and take the NL East. The Yankees, like I said, is in that scrum. I think it's about 4 or 5 teams in that scrum, and like I said, the Royals are going ahead and clinch the Central. So. It's getting exciting, and that's part of the reason why they instituted the second wild card is to make sure that you have more cities involved in the pennant chases and the postseason berths. So I'm enjoying it. It's hard for me with my Reds just being terrible to really get super involved, but I'm on the Mets train. They got me into the World Series game. Let's go Mets.
Let's go Yankees.
Hey, Rob. Hey, Rob, we got about a minute. Go ahead and set the OT portion up, and we'll keep it moving here. So go ahead, Rob.
I know we're in the heart of things here. Join us next Tuesday night. We'll be back to our original night on Tuesday next week, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central. Click on the same link. We got 15 more minutes. It's going to go on the OT portion. You can click on the same link and get that on tomorrow. We got some college football. We're going to talk about a little NBA, even a little college basketball we may squeeze in. So click on the same link, and you'll get all of that great information on tomorrow while you're eating lunch at your desk or something like that. Click on this link. Tune in to 3 great fellas talking sports. Good night, people.
All right. Stay classy, San Diego.
I love it. Everyone's starting to figure out their roles and kind of what to do, man. That's what it's all about, too. So as Robert said, yeah, getting ready to jump to the OT portion. We appreciate that. Let's kick it off, man. We are officially in that. And a lot of shout-out to you, JQ, because it looks like – well, not really shout-out, but we'll talk about that in a second piece. But really quickly, yeah. Matt Leinart is actually jumping in, and he's talking about the USC versus Arizona State, that the Trojans have to win this game. Rob, what's your thoughts about this? Is Matt Leinart still kind of hanging on the campus too much, or what's he talking about for this quote, man?
Take me. Well, I know we didn't. You know, I thoroughly expected USC to beat Stanford at home, and boy, was I wrong on that game. Stanford, got back to playing big boy football, being physical in the trenches. Hogan had a heck of a game. And went on the road and upset USC. I was very surprised by that. I thought this was the year where USC was getting back to close to where they were in the Pete Carroll days. And, I thought they had an outside chance of making it to the Final Four, the college football playoff this year. After seeing that, I'm not so sure, but I still like them to go on the road and win this game at Arizona State. I think Cody Kessler and the gang, they have too much talent, and I think they bounce back.
JQ, what's your thoughts?
Well, I told you from the get-go that I think a Pac-12 team was going to make it to the Final Four, so to speak, for college football. And everything that happened this past weekend pretty much affirmed it because Oregon 2 weeks ago losing to Michigan State, and now you have USC losing to Stanford, a game they should have won. This is the same Stanford team that got pushed around by Northwestern. I mean, pushed around.
Wow.
So, you can't really draw comparisons between teams, but if you're looking at that, I just don't think it looks good. I mean, I think USC has the more talent than Arizona State, so I will pick them in this game. But, they still have an uphill battle to get into that Final Four. They're going to need some things to break right for them in order to make it. So I'm going to go with USC, but I think they needed to. I think they needed to run the table, really, because you have a lot of West Coast bias in a negative light towards college football at this point, and they're not doing a whole lot to elevate themselves, in my estimation.
It's a good call. I agree with both you fellows on that call. Let's talk about this. JQ, we saved this topic just for you. Urban Meyer came out and said that
both of y'all's
Cardale
love.
Jones.
We got the Falcons at the top of the show. We got the Buckeyes in the show. See how I threw that around?
I appreciate it.
I feel something's coming later on. I'm not sure, but I feel like we're just setting this up. But, hey, and just to let you guys know, too, it looks like the Redskins are making a little comeback here. They scored two touchdowns here, so we'll see if that's what's happening with that, too. Let's get a quick check.
More
here.
Eli Manning, I need some more fantasy points.
Oh,
he just hit Ruben Randall for a touchdown, so.
Okay, well, 20-32, we'll keep an eye on that. So it looks like a 11-point game. All right, but Urban Meyer comes out and says, Cardale Jones is our guy and will remain the starter. JQ, what are your thoughts on this decision, sir?
There are multiple thoughts I have about this because, of course, I almost had a heart attack during that Northern Illinois game. But
I know we did.
the biggest issue I have with them right now, and it's a couple issues. One, they are getting too cute in the fact that they have Ezekiel Elliott in the backfield, and if you watch the games, they try to outthink themselves, saying, oh, the defense thinks we're going to run with Elliott, so we're going to run Braxton Miller on the jet sweep or do these other things instead of establishing Ezekiel Elliott first. And I think that's their biggest problem. They're not playing smash-mouth football. Last year, when they made that run, Ezekiel Elliott ran for 200 yards in those last three games, every game. So that's problem number one. Problem number two is Urban Meyer has to come out, and he said it, but we have to see if he's going to let Cardale work through his issues and play a whole game. If you watch them play, it looks like Cardale Jones is pressing to try to impress to win the starting job. And when he gets pulled and JT Barrett comes in and tries to do too much, trying to take the job from Cardale, this back and forth is not working for them. They have no kind of flow or tempo on offense. And number three is the biggest reason, one of the bigger reasons they have a problem, and it's underrated, is that they lost their offensive coordinator, Ty Herman. He became the Houston head coach. And he was the quarterback coach as well as the offensive coordinator. And he's the reason why you saw those quarterbacks be able to come in and step in and play, and now he's gone. And they have a new coordinator. They elevated an offensive line coach and put him as a co-coordinator with Tim Beck. and they have no fluidity to their play calling. They look like, you know, a kid in a candy store. I have all these weapons, and I'm trying to give them the ball, but there's no tempo or rhyme or reason to the play calling. So they need to figure out who's our starter, make a decision, go with them, and give Ezekiel Elliott the ball, and I think everything else will fall into place because the defense is playing well.
Rob, what do you think about what JQ said? JQ was a little passing it there, if you will.
Yeah. Well, obviously, you know, obviously JQ is a lot more closer to the Ohio State program than I am. So, obviously, I respect everything you're saying with the program. But just my brief observation, I think, obviously, Cardale Jones is the better pro prospect. And I think Urban Meyer understands that and trying to put him on the field. But I'm not so sure he's the best quarterback for Urban Meyer's offense. In just my opinion, I think Barrett actually might be the better option for Urban Meyer's offense that he wants to run, just in my opinion. I think Cardale Jones is more of a pro-style quarterback, probably needs to be more of a pro-style offense. And but, you know, I think Meyer is giving him the opportunity to play because he has an opportunity, if he can shine somehow, to be a first-round pick.
Absolutely. And he knows he has JT Barrett in his back pocket for next year. Agreed.
We just hope that Urban Meyer didn't overthink himself. Go ahead, Rob. You're about to say something. I can feel it.
Oh, I just got a breaking news that JQ's already, you know, mentioned this. Kansas City clinches the AL Central with a 10-4 victory against Seattle. First division title in 30 years.
Wow.
Congratulations to the Kansas City
Royals.
Wow,
30 years. Is that like Brett Saberhagen?
That must be, yeah. George Brett days.
George Brett, yeah.
Yeah.
That is. Wow. Congrats to the Kansas City, man. They're doing it right. It's good to see a great town like that actually representing. All right, fellas, we got 10 minutes here. Let's wrap this up. Go ahead. A couple things I want to talk about. Auburn, are they confident? Let's keep these answers quick. Are they confident with Sean White at QB, Rob?
Well, you know, I got a chance to see him a little bit in some high school performances. It seems like he throws the ball very well. But really quickly, I'm just extremely shocked at the play of Jeremy Johnson from Auburn. In a lot of my conversations prior to the season, I thought Auburn was a very strong sleeper to win the SEC West. I thought Jeremy Johnson was going to be the best quarterback in the SEC, and boy, was I wrong. You know, he's really just has just not played well. I think in three games he's thrown like 6 or 7 interceptions. And so obviously Auburn is trying to change some things up, and, you know, we'll see what happens. I just can't see them. I think they're going at Mississippi State, if I'm not mistaken, this weekend. I just can't see Auburn going on the road and winning that game. Matter of fact, I don't know if I can see them beat Mississippi State regardless of where they're playing this weekend.
Wow. What are your thoughts on that, JQ?
Yeah, he's going to have to play out of his mind. But, I mean, if I was an Auburn fan, I mean, it can't be much worse than what Jared Johnson showed you. And he was a dark horse Heisman candidate before the season started. And he looks totally lost. He's locked into one wide receiver. He doesn't read coverage as well. They have the talent to compete, but he's put them in the hole at this point. I mean, almost losing to Jacksonville State and then, you know, just getting shellacked this weekend by Rob's LSU Tigers.
I finally get a little love.
I think that SEC West comes down to that Ole Miss LSU game. I really do. I think they're the class of that SEC West division.
There you go, Rob. We still love you, man.
You could be right. You could be right. Can't sleep on Alabama, though. They might wake up, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but they don't have a quarterback, and they don't have any wide receivers.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Point it out. Good job, JQ. Is it crucial for Oklahoma State to beat Texas this weekend, JQ?
Yeah, because Texas sucks. So if you want to win the Big 12, then they do suck. I want Charlie Strong to succeed, but they suck at this point in time.
Yeah.
And they just fired their AD. So, I mean, they have all the talent in-state to recruit. I don't understand why they aren't better than they are. But at this point in time, Oklahoma State, if they want to have any chance, they have to beat Texas. And not only do they need to beat them, they need to win with some style points because they're competing with the SEC. They're competing with Ohio State and Michigan State. They're competing with Clemson, ACC, and to try to get one of those four bids, I don't care what anybody says, you have to have a little style points along the way when you're an underdog.
Rob?
Yeah, even though they're going on the road at Texas, this is a game Oklahoma State has to win. I think they will win. I think Mike Gundy is one of the more underrated coaches. I think he wins with less talent. than what Oklahoma and Texas normally gets. And as JQ mentioned, it's mind-boggling that the Texas program is where they are at today. And as he mentioned, you know, rooting for Charlie Strong as well. But it's mind-boggling where that program is in. I just can't believe it with the talent that's in that state. But I think Oklahoma State's win. They win by at least 2 to 3 touchdowns on the road at UT. I know we got a lot of listeners in Houston, so sorry to hear that. Sorry to break that news to you guys.
I think Mac Brown left the cupboard bare, guys. That's what I think. I think he left the cupboard bare, but that's my 2 cents. All right, really quickly, I want to talk about Kareem and UCLA, but really quickly, Rob, let's go through. We got about 5 minutes. Let's talk about predictions. Number 9, UCLA, at number 16, Arizona. Your thoughts on that, Rob, really quickly.
I like Arizona. UCLA, they were another team I thought was a dark horse from the Pac-12, could possibly come out and be in the Final Four, and they could possibly still be there. Josh Rosen's playing extremely well as a freshman quarterback. They're dealing with a few injuries right now. They struggled against BYU this past week. I think Rich Rodriguez in Arizona wins at home over UCLA.
JQ?
I agree. I think Arizona wins at home. I like what Rich Rod has going there. I think he just was over his head a little bit in Michigan, and the Michigan fans were delusional at the time. And for the other one, I just can't pick against Oregon in Eugene. So I'm going to go with Oregon and Arizona.
Rob,
I like Oregon,
that?
Too. You know, I know Vernon Adams is really struggling. Obviously, they're missing Mariota at the quarterback position. But I still like Oregon to win. At home as well. I think that game is going to be closer, though. I think Oregon wins a close one over Utah at home.
Really quickly, keep us on the UCLA college era. Kareem blasts UCLA basketball and Steve Alford. What's that about, Rob?
Well, very interesting. You know, Steve Alford has taken UCLA to Sweet 16 the last 2 years. But, you know, obviously when you go back to Kareem and the Bill Walton days of UCLA, they won championships. And Bill Walton pretty much blasted Steve Alton, UCLA teams, Steve Alford, I'm sorry, UCLA teams, about not being fundamentally sound. They don't know how to run the fast break. He said, we strive for championships. And I think this is just a different day and age. You can't expect these programs to win championships year after year after year like they did in this era. So I was just fairly surprised, at some of the comments. And that was made by Kareem toward Steve Alford. I think there should be a little bit more patience on that front. But, you know, obviously, like I said, he's used to winning championships back to his days at UCLA.
Shut up and coach Kareem. JQ, what are your thoughts on that?
Absolutely. I mean, he hasn't been there long enough to rake him over the coals like that. And I think there's some sour grapes for Kareem because everybody knows that he's trying to get into coaching, and he's kind of been blackballed a little bit. From getting into it, and I think he's just like, well, if he can, I can do better than that. So I just think it's sour grapes from Kareem. You don't blast him like that. Give him a chance. He hasn't been there long enough for you to take him to school like that. I mean, come on. You feel this is not the 70s. I mean, you got to give him a break. You got to give him a chance.
2 minutes, fellas. Two things. Meta World Peace was signed to the Lakers by 1 year. I'm curious to hear your thoughts on that. Thank you. And, I think Kobe's legacy is sinking, and yeah, we'll see what happens. I think this is Kobe's last year. Real quick, end it on that. I'll give you the floor, JQ, on that, and we'll end it with Rob.
I think they're just bringing Meta in for some veteran presence. I don't think they're expecting a whole lot out of him. And I don't think that Kobe's legacy is necessarily sinking. He's just been hurt, and that's what happens when you get older. Hopefully he can stay healthy and go out on a better note, but they're not going to make a threat to win any championships. So I think these are just two ho-hum stories.
Rob Ford.
I would agree with both of those comments. Yeah, you met a world peace. You just want to see what kind of physical presence or veteran leadership he can bring to your team. And I think, for the most part, you're going to remember Kobe from his great years as opposed to his lean years, just like we do with Jordan. We don't remember those days when he came back and played with the Wizards for those few years. You're going to remember him for his great years. And I think the same thing will be said with Kobe. But I think this year, I think he definitely should retire at the end of the season. You don't want to, keep having these injury-plagued seasons.
Agreed. Gentlemen, thank you for showing the thrill of battle with you guys. JQ, end the show for us.
I want to say something to you, Urban. If you don't run the ball, with Ezekiel Elliott at least 25 times this week and let Cardale Jones win, lose, or draw, finish this game out, I'm going to have a problem as an Ohio State fan. This is what won you a championship. Go back to basics. And I'm going to leave it at that.
Good night, people. Good night, fellas.
Tuesday night next week, people, 11 p.m. Eastern.
I'm going to set 4 alarms for Andre to make sure that we get on the air, y'all. We sorry.